21-year-old Veronica Paz was smart, beautiful, and used to getting any guy she wanted. And when she meets younger man, 17-year-old Diego Gonzalez, she has a chance to recapture the glory days of high school. But when Diego makes their relationship all about lust and not love, Veronica is determined to teach him a lesson he'll never forget. Hello and welcome to The Dark Side of Love. I'm your host, Bianca Sloan, author of suspense novels about the dark side of love. And this week I'm putting a spotlight on the case I'm calling Worst in Class. Veronica Paz was someone who was used to getting what she wanted. Growing up in the sunny climes of Garden Grove, California in Orange County, as the only girl in a family of three kids, Veronica, with her long dark hair, olive skin, and dark brown eyes, was treated like the perfect little princess. As psychiatrist Dr. Troy Waller told the TV One show For My Man, quote, she grew up expecting the same treatment from the rest of the world. Despite her pampered upbringing, by the time Veronica hits the halls of Santiago High School, she's a girl who's going places. She has become a hard-working beauty, bringing home good grades and accolades such as Citizen of the Month. She's also extremely popular, catching the eye of pretty much every guy at Santiago High. As Matt Coker of the OC Weekly told For My Man, quote, Veronica was a catch. As Larry Wellborn of the Orange County Register told Oxygen's She Made Me Do It, quote, she could probably get any guy she wanted if she wanted to. And the guy who caught her was the star running back for the football team, Brandon Dante Perry. Described by Larry Wellborn of the Orange County Register to She Made Me Do It as a quiet, serious, and reserved young man as compared to Veronica's more outgoing and gregarious nature, Brandon seemed to have a bright future ahead of him due to his prowess on the gridiron. As noted by the Orange County Register's Larry Wellborn in She Made Me Do It, Brandon was considered, quote, a football warrior, and several colleges expressed interest in recruiting him. Brandon and Veronica had actually met as kids at Gaspar de Bertola Middle School, which is when they first got together, eventually going on to have an off-on relationship all throughout high school. And even though the couple are off and on, Brandon is hooked, considering her to be the only girl for him. And throughout their time in high school, the pair are something of a power couple. Popular and successful, they both seem to be going far. Well, the girl who seemed to be going places actually wound up not going anywhere. Once Veronica graduated from high school, she stayed in Orange County and got a job as a teacher's aide and as a cashier at a local supermarket, giving part of her earnings back to her parents, who she still lived with. The high school golden girl is now stuck in a series of dead-end jobs, her glory days long behind her. And Veronica's king seemed to lose his momentum as well. Brandon, who's got a year left of high school, seems to run out of gas once Veronica is no longer by his side every day at school. His grades drop, which means he loses his eligibility to play football, colleges stop looking his way, and eventually he just drops out of school altogether. Instead, he spends his days at home all day playing video games. Quite the downfall for these two high school teen dreams. Their relationship isn't going much better. They remain in and out with each other, and while Brandon is still hopelessly in love with Veronica, she's a little less enamored with this high school dropout, even if she wasn't quite able to let him go. And it's not long before another young jock catches her eye. 17-year-old Diego Gonzalez works part-time at the same grocery store as Veronica. He's a champion wrestler at El Modena High School and is, in fact, captain of the team. Diego is considered a handsome guy with a sense of humor and a good head on his shoulders. Despite Diego being 4 years younger than she is, Veronica likes what she sees. He's cute, he's a big wrestling star, and he gives Veronica a chance to relive her faded glory days. She's essentially trading in the has-been Brandon for the shiny new recruit, Diego. So Veronica is hitting on him and, you know, he's down. He's got this beautiful older woman putting the moves on him, and, you know, he's a young kid, so he's into it. And they hook up. And the connection between them is bananas. Lust, 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 lust. Did I say lust? Yes, lust. They are hooking up every chance they get. And as Larry Wellborn of the Orange County Register said, quote, "I don't think they could keep their hands off each other." However, if Veronica thinks that Diego will be parading her around by inviting her to his wrestling matches, introducing her to his friends, well, she is sadly mistaken, because Diego just doesn't see Veronica that way. He's just not that into her. To Diego, Veronica is basically a hookup, no more and no less. Psychologist Dr. Jeffrey Gardier observed to the show For My Man, quote, "This is new territory for Veronica because she's never been turned down before, and she is now perhaps wants the thing that she can't have." Despite knowing that their entanglement with each other is a dead end, Diego and Veronica really do have a hard time of letting go of each other. Eventually, though, they break off, and Diego gets back together with his ex-girlfriend, while Veronica drifts back to Brandon, who is still carrying a torch for her. But there is just something about Diego, and Veronica can't let go. However, she is about to have bigger problems than a failed romance with a high school kid. It's August of 2003, and Veronica and Diego are back together doing what they do, and they go to a party together. And then Brandon shows up, and he is pissed when he sees the person who he thinks of as his girl, Veronica, with a kid, basically, because that's what Diego is. He's 17. He's not an adult. So Brandon, he gets in Diego's face. He pushes him, and Diego does not back down. He, in fact, stands up to Brandon. And so now it's on. These two guys, they're in each other's faces, all because of Veronica. And what is Veronica doing? Well, enjoying this, of course. Hello. She stands by quietly and watches this whole thing go down and saying nothing, but lapping it all up. Brandon is seething with jealousy. Diego is not walking away, and she is loving every single minute of these two guys swinging their you-know-whats around because of her. As Dr. Troy Waller said in For My Man, quote, "Brandon is her knight in shining armor, rescuing her from the guy who has rejected her." Things escalate to the point where one of Diego's friends pull a gun on Brandon, who now has no choice but to stand down. So this round goes to Diego, and a humiliated Brandon is not going to forget anytime soon that a high school kid got the best of him. To add insult to injury, Veronica finds out that Diego has gotten back together with his ex-girlfriend and realizes she's being played because he's still calling her wanting to hook up. So now she's mad and embarrassed. Great combination. So Brandon has been humiliated by this kid. Veronica is being used by this kid. And you know what that means. When a couple of immature people, such as Veronica and Brandon are, they come to the cuckoo clock conclusion that Diego has to pay for his disrespect. November 9th, 2003. Diego works the late shift at the grocery store. His brother Omar comes to pick him up, and they get home between 10:30 and 10:45. The brothers decide to go for a run when Omar says Diego gets a call from Veronica. Diego decides to ditch the run and meet up with Veronica instead, and he heads out to meet her. Well, Diego's body is found the next morning by two high school kids. He was sprawled across the driveway, and in addition to being shot twice, he had been set on fire. Diego Gonzalez was 17 years old. Dan Salcedo, who was the homicide detective from the Orange County Sheriff's Department assigned to the case, and also known as the department's resident Columbo, told She Made Me Do It about the scene that, quote, "The scene was very brutal. There was somebody out there who not only shot the person point blank in the forehead, but also lit his body on fire. It certainly was an act of brutality, revenge, It was somebody that had a point to make. Among the clues at the scene were a broken lighter, two shell casings, and evidence that someone had tried to wipe away their footprints. It's 2003, so Ring cameras aren't a thing yet, and there's one witness who thinks he heard gunshots in a car, but he can't be sure. So the cops don't have much. However, Diego's family, they're terrified when they hear that a body has been found, because by this point, Diego had been missing for 2 days. And when they visit the morgue, their worst nightmare is confirmed. Diego is gone. Now, his family tells investigators that Diego was headed out to meet Veronica, so now cops have a name. They ask Veronica to come down to headquarters, though they make a point of not telling her that Diego is dead, framing this instead as a conversation that they need her help. She tells the cops that the last time she saw Diego was when they got off of work together and he called her for a hookup, but that she turned him down because she has a boyfriend, she doesn't want to deal with him and his drama anymore. Instead, she says that she hung out with Brandon and that later on she met up with her friend Kim Gomez and that the two of them ate McDonald's and watched a movie. At this point, cops show Veronica the crime scene photos of Diego's body and tell her that he was murdered. She seems upset at seeing the photos, and because her friend Kim has backed up her alibi, the cops don't have anything to keep her there, so they send her home. However, because she mentioned Brandon's name to them, they decide to hit him up next. So they bring him in to question him, and he says that he doesn't even know who Diego is, which is a lie. So then cops say, "But hey, didn't you get into a fight with this guy at a party this past summer?" Well, now Brandon has to admit that yes, he did, but he plays it off as no big deal, says that that was pretty much the last time that he even saw Diego. He also confirms he was with Veronica earlier in the evening, and afterwards he was hanging out with his friend Tommy Medina. Just like they did with Veronica, cops show him the crime scene photos, and he says, "I don't know what happened. I have nothing to do with this," which doesn't sound suspicious at all, does it? No. Well, the cops don't believe him, and they decide to call his bluff and tell him that they have his cell phone records, and they know for a fact that he was in the area where the body was found. Now he says, "Well, as a matter of fact, you know, I was driving around in that area at about that time." Now, while this doesn't blow the case wide open, it is enough to arrest Brandon, so that's exactly what the cops do. And after all of this goes down, Veronica comes back because she says she wants to, quote, come clean about what she knew. So she's in the interrogation room with the detectives and she's sobbing that, quote, "This is hard. I want to do the right thing." Veronica drops the bombshell that Brandon shot Diego. And the reason she knows this is because she was there. She claims that the only thing she thought would happen is that Brandon was going to go there to beat the crap out of Diego because of, you know, all of the humiliation and the disrespect, but that she never, ever, ever thought in a million years that Brandon would actually kill Diego. Now, according to Veronica's version of events, Diego had called her wanting to hook up that night, and now remember, his family says that she was the one who called him. But that Brandon demanded to know who was calling her, and she admits to him that it was Diego. He says something to the effect of, "I want you to meet him because now I'm going to give him the beatdown that he deserves." Veronica says she obeyed the directive and agreed to meet up with Diego. So basically, it was Veronica's job to lure Diego out to this secluded spot. And as Detective Salcedo noted in She Made Me Do It, Veronica bought a 3-pack of condoms because Brandon said, quote, "If you have to have sex with him, go ahead and have it. So any means necessary, do it." So she picks up Diego and they head to High Top Lane in Orange, which is a nearby, you know, town or suburb, whatever you want to call it. And as per usual, Veronica and Diego are in her car making out. Diego never hears Brandon's car pull up. Brandon yanks the car door open and hauls Diego outside. Veronica says she closed her eyes and heard two gunshots, once in the forehead, once in the face. Veronica insists that Brandon shooting Diego was never supposed to happen, that the only thing, the absolute only thing that was supposed to go down was that Diego was going to have his ass beat in order to teach him a lesson. She was just doing what Brandon wanted, you see. Well, if Veronica thought that this tearful confession meant she was skating out of this, she was wrong. For someone who was so smart, she's kind of not that smart. Because she was arrested on November 13th, 2003, on first-degree murder charges, as well as a special circumstance called lying in wait. It takes 3 years for Veronica and Brandon's trials to start, and she's up first, with her trial starting in early August of 2006. So sitting in jail for 3 years gives the former couple a lot of time to think, and while Veronica continues to portray herself as an unwilling accomplice to Brandon's murderous rage, Brandon decides, you know what, it's time for the truth to come out. It's time to mention it all. So, Brandon testifies that Veronica was the mastermind behind the whole thing. You're shocked, right? Right? He basically says that Veronica was nagging him incessantly to kill Diego. This guy, this kid, he keeps calling me to hook up with me. He's just using me, and he disrespected you at this party, and you have to kill him. You have to kill him. I mean, who comes up with that? I mean, again, for someone who's so smart, that's just really... Anyway, okay. Brandon, he gives in because Veronica's his girl and because he himself is feeling like, I'm not going to let this kid, this high school kid, get the best of me. So he goes and he gets a gun. And he, Veronica, and his buddy, Tommy Medina, who remember was Brandon's alibi for the night that Diego was murdered, the three of them head out to the desert for some shooting practice and even discuss burying Diego in the desert. Crazy. And in fact, Veronica is the one to buy the bullets for the gun, using the same credit card she used to buy the condoms for the night that she was going to lure Diego out and have sex with him if she had to, because that's what her boyfriend told her to do. And she suggests that High Top Lane is the perfect place to make this plan a reality. One, because it's secluded, but also because it's a spot where Diego and Veronica would go to smoke pot and hook up. So again, you really have to have been there before to know where it is. It's not just someplace you stumble into. But most importantly, it would not raise any suspicion with Diego if Veronica suggested that they go there because they've gone there before all the time. So Veronica did her part. She got Diego up there, and then Brandon pulled him out of the car. And as he testified, he, meaning Diego, quote, took a step forward. I shot him. After murdering Diego, Veronica and Brandon, they go and they get something to eat. I guess you work up an appetite after you murder somebody. And after that, they went in order to cover their tracks. They pick up a can of gasoline and head back to the crime scene and douse Diego's body with gas, flick the lighter, and set him on fire. Veronica and Brandon confide in their respective friends Kim Gomez and Tommy Medina about what they've done and convince them to act as alibis for them. Somewhere along the way, somebody, nobody knows who, nobody ever said, disposes of the gun, because the gun was never found, so we don't know who did that or where it is. And Veronica's attempts at portraying herself as this poor, submissive girlfriend who's just doing what her boyfriend wanted, and she had no idea what he actually planned to do. I mean, it's not convincing. Nobody's buying it. For one, she, as I said earlier, she bought the bullets for the gun. Two, Tommy Medina testified that the plan to murder Diego had been in the works for months because he was there when they went shooting in the desert way back in October. So this was not just some, oh my gosh, I'm just an innocent victim. No, Veronica was pulling the strings, 100%. So in the end, the jury does find Veronica guilty of first-degree murder, but not on the lying in wait charge. And she is sentenced to 25 years to life with the possibility of parole. Brandon pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and is also sentenced to 25 years to life, also with the possibility of parole. And the reason why he got the possibility of parole was because, in exchange for pleading guilty and testifying against Veronica, he avoided the possibility of no parole. So that's why he struck that deal, basically. In 2008, Veronica's sentence was overturned on a technicality, and she then agreed to plead guilty to second-degree murder. As a result, her sentence was reduced to 15 years to life, again, with the possibility of parole. Her defense attorney, William Kelly, told She Made Me Do It that the new charges and sentence reduction were, quote, a good result for her. Brandon's first opportunity for parole is in 2024. According to a Facebook page maintained by Diego's family, Veronica was paroled on March 24th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of The Dark Side of Love. I'm your host, Bianca Sloan, and show your love for The Dark Side of Love by visiting thedarksideoflove.com for show notes and transcripts. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter to be notified about new episodes. You can also find a link to my Patreon page where you can access bonus material and other fun stuff. Learn more about my suspense novels about The Dark Side of Love by visiting biancasloan.com. Thank you for hanging out with me, and join me next time for another tale of love gone wrong. I'll see you on the dark side.